Should I, as a Gentile believer, be afraid to witness to my Jewish friends because they know the Bible so well? Should I be fearful of entering into a spiritual conversation with a person from a Jewish background because they know the Bible better than I do?
Proclaiming Jesus as Messiah, this is The Messianic Voice with Marty Zide, the radio ministry of Midwest Messianic Center in St. Louis, an evangelical faith missionary organization helping to spread God's love to the Jewish people throughout the Midwest and beyond. Our goal is to help provide you with the tools you'll need to effectively witness to your Jewish friends and neighbors. I want to remind you to stay with us through the end of today's broadcast for information on how to receive some free resource material that we'd like to make available to you. But right now, let's rejoin Marty Zide as he continues in the series entitled Questions and Answers, Part 2, here on The Messianic Voice.
Hello, and thank you for tuning in to The Messianic Voice program, which is coming to you from our headquarters in St. Louis, Missouri. I'm so glad that you've joined us. We're in the midst of a series which I've entitled Questions and Answers. These are questions that Gentile believers might have about Jewish people. And in our first lesson, we gave several questions. I was able to answer three. And for those of you who were not with us, I'd like to go ahead and review those before we continue on. The first question that I dealt with was this: why do Jewish people need to believe in Jesus as the Messiah? Aren't they okay because they're God's chosen people? Well, even though to most of us who are listening, this might be an obvious answer, we would say, well, sure, they need to come through Jesus as the Messiah. Unfortunately, we discussed in detail that there are many, and even some within evangelical circles, who are denying this. They think that all the Jewish people need to do is be faithful to the law of Moses, and that's how they enter into a personal relationship with God, as opposed to coming through the person of the Lord Jesus. And we gave verses that were very, very clear, for example, in Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, and of course that statement that's so familiar to many of us, John chapter 14 and verse 6, where Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes unto the Father but by me." Another question that we discussed was this: is it true that it was the Jewish people who killed Jesus Christ? And we tried to show that even though the Jewish people were involved, and we're certainly not trying to make it as though the Jewish people had no guilt at all in this, they are not the only ones who were against the person of the Lord Jesus. We saw that it was the political leaders that were against the Messiah at that time. Not only them, but it was the Gentile peoples as well as the Jewish people. So for anybody to try to pin the blame strictly on the Jewish people, we would say, well, there must be something deep in your heart that's causing you to want to try to blame them and blame them only, because everybody, the world, was against him at that time. Another question that we discussed was, what does it mean when the Bible says that the Jewish people are God's chosen people? And the first thing that we did was to establish the fact that, yes, indeed, it is true that the Jewish people are God's chosen people. And we went to Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 7 and 8, and we read those verses, and it clearly says that, yes, the Jewish people are God's chosen people. But then we sought to answer the question, what did he choose them to do? And even though the Jewish people are familiar with the truth that they are the chosen people, and for the most part, Gentiles are familiar with the truth that the Jewish people are the chosen people, a lot of people are not clear as to what he chose them for. And we gave three reasons that the Word of God clearly addresses concerning why God chose them. The first one was the Word of God, the Bible. God used the nation of Israel to give to the world his inerrant, divine, authoritative word. It tells us that in Romans chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, and in Psalm chapter 147, verses 19 and 20. And for those of us who have a Bible and love to read the Bible, we should thank God that He chose this little nation to give to us His written word. A second reason that we discussed as to why God chose the Jewish people, it tells us in the Word of God that the Messiah, Jesus, according to the flesh, came through the nation of Israel. So God chose them to give us the written word, and He chose the nation of Israel to give us the living word, Jesus the Messiah. Romans chapter 9, verses 3 through 5 tells us that according to the flesh, it was through the people of Israel that the Messiah came. And then we talked about the third reason why God chose the Jewish people. Now, the first two have been fulfilled. We have the Bible, and the Messiah has already come. The third reason as to why God chose the Jewish people still awaits a future fulfillment. And it's this, that they are going to be the missionaries to the world. There's coming a time when God is going to use the Jewish people in a wonderful, wonderful way. During the tribulation period, God is going to save 144,000 Jewish people, and they're going to do in less than 7 years what the church has not done in 2,000 years, and that's give the gospel to every single living creature at that time, every single human being. And then also, even during the earthly reign of the Messiah Jesus, the Jewish people are going to be the ones to whom the nations are going to fly to. They're going to grab onto the skirt of him who is a Jewish person and say, come, let us go with you that we may learn concerning who the Lord is. So those are the questions that we dealt with in our first lesson. And now we want to continue on and take a look at question number 4. And it's this, how do Jewish people believe you get to heaven? Well, before I answer that question, it needs to be said that not all Jewish people actually believe in heaven. In America, there are basically three major groups of Jewish people. Now, there are some others. There are some smaller groups, but for the most part, there are three major ones. You have the Reformed Jewish people, the Conservative Jewish people, and the Orthodox Jewish people. The Reformed Jewish people would be the least of the religious. They would be similar to the Sadducees of the New Testament. A lot of them didn't believe in the spirit world. They didn't believe in angels. They didn't believe in the resurrection. And that's true for the most part of Reformed Jewish people today. They don't necessarily believe in a literal life after death. I was recently at a Jewish funeral. And as a rabbi was talking, he gave one of the most common statements that you hear at a Jewish funeral among Reformed Jewish people, and it's this, that our friend who passed on, our relative who passed on, is going to live on in the hearts and the memories of those who are alive. And to them, that's how the person lives on. They don't believe in a literal life after death. They don't believe in a literal heaven. Now, on the other side of the coin, you have the Orthodox Jewish people, and these are the ones who are very, very religious. These would be more like the Pharisees of the New Testament, very literal. They take the Holy Scriptures literally. They do believe in a life after death. The conservative Jewish people, who would be the middle group, and it would depend upon whether they would lean more to the left or to the right. They could go both ways. If they followed the Reformed Jewish traditions more, then they would tend to not believe in a literal heaven. But on the other hand, the conservative Jewish people, if they were more like the Orthodox in their beliefs, they might tend to believe in a literal heaven. So for those Jewish people who do believe in a literal heaven, the question is, how do they believe you get there? And it's almost across the board if you were to ask them that very question. Okay, so you do believe in heaven. Well, how do you believe you get there? More often than not, they would tell you they get there by doing what they call mitzvahs. Mitzvahs. What's a mitzvah? We would just simply say a mitzvah is a good deed, a good work. And they believe that if they do more good deeds, more mitzvahs, than things that are wrong, kind of like the old balancing the scales where the good outweighs the bad, they believe that that's going to cause them to end up in heaven when they die. Now, that's not very much unlike the average Gentile individual. If you were to walk down the street randomly and just walk up to somebody and say, "How do you get to heaven? What's your opinion on that?" Unless they were a true believer, born again, who loves the Lord Jesus, for the most part, they would say, "Well, I try to be a good person. I try to do the best I can." And so it's very, very similar between what the unsaved Jewish people believe and what unsaved Gentiles believe as well. This idea of getting to heaven by mitzvahs is basically universally believed among Jewish people who believe that there is a heaven. Do good, do mitzvahs, pray, feed the birds in the winter, all kinds of different things, whatever they could come up with. Drive somebody to the store who doesn't have a car. Those are all considered mitzvahs. Well, there's a problem, however. And one of the problems is this. They don't realize that in the Word of God, it tells us that good works cannot get us to heaven. A good verse to show your Jewish friends that good works cannot get you to heaven is found in Isaiah chapter 64 and verse 6. Listen to what it says. "For all of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a filthy garment, and all of us wither like a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind take us away." So even the best that we can present to God, all of our righteous deeds, from His perspective, are like a filthy garment. Now, I know people, and you probably know people also. When you take a look at their lives, you say, "Well, you know, some of the things that they do, they're pretty nice. Some of them would be categorized as good, charitable things." So when a Jewish person says, "Well, I do mitzvahs, I do good deeds," Isaiah 64:6 is a good verse to show them that even the most righteous things that we do, from God's perspective, is like a filthy garment. And the reason why that is because of our sin. It tells us in Psalm chapter 14, verses 2 and 3, and these are some other excellent verses to show your Jewish friends. Listen what it says in Psalm 14, 2 and 3. "The Lord has looked down from heaven upon the sons of men to see if there are any who understand, who seek after God. They have all turned aside. Together they have become corrupt. There is no one who does good, not even one." The Apostle Paul quotes those verses in Romans chapter 3 when he's trying to prove the point that the whole human race stands condemned before a holy and righteous God. Again, those verses are Psalm 14, 2 and 3. So the problem is, from God's perspective, no one who is unsaved can do good works. And the reason why is because of our sin. There are some other verses that I want to share with you as well. Paul tells us in the book of Galatians that salvation comes by faith in the Messiah Jesus and not by keeping the law and by doing good works. For example, in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 16, notice what Paul says. "Nevertheless, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but through faith in Jesus the Messiah, even we believed in Messiah Jesus, that we may be justified by faith in Messiah, and not by the works of the law, since by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified." So when a person says, "Well, I try to keep the law of Moses, I try to keep the Ten Commandments, I try to do good deeds," Jewish people would say, "I try to do mitzvahs," no one is going to gain a right standing before God by their good works. The only way is by faith in the Lord Jesus. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 21 says, "I do not nullify the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died needlessly." Why did Jesus die? If you could be justified, or if you could be made right through the law, then there was no reason for the Lord Jesus to go through all of the suffering that he went through. And then Galatians chapter 3 and verse 11. now that no one is justified by the law before God is evident. For the righteous man shall live by faith. And of course, that's faith in the Messiah Jesus. So how do Jewish people believe you get to heaven? They would answer that by saying, well, I do mitzvahs. I try to do the best I can. I try to be the best person I possibly can be. Well, we need to show them that from God's perspective, we can't be good enough. Another question, question number five. Should I, and I'm speaking from a Gentile's perspective, should I, as a Gentile believer, be afraid to witness to my Jewish friends because they know the Bible so well? Should I be fearful of entering into a spiritual conversation with a person from a Jewish background because they know the Bible better than I do? Well, let me say, for the most part, this simply is not true. Reformed Jewish people and most of the conservative Jewish people know the Bible hardly at all. They hardly know anything about the scriptures. Now, it is true, our Orthodox friends, they know the Bible, and that's okay. For example, when you talk to them about the temple and the priesthood and the necessity of blood sacrifices, they know what you're talking about. They don't give you this blank stare like, what are you talking about? They're familiar with those kinds of things. So I wouldn't be afraid to enter into a conversation about the Bible with your Jewish acquaintance, because as I said, most of them that you're going to come in contact with don't know the scriptures at all. You know, it's really sad because the Old Testament predicted this predicament that Jewish people are in the book of Hosea and the book of Isaiah and the book of Amos has some commentary on this. Listen to what it says in Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6. It says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I will reject you from being my priest. Since you have forgotten the law of your God, I also will forget your children." Terrible things have come upon the Jewish people because they have just simply forgotten and they've lacked the knowledge that God desired them to have. Of all the people on the face of the earth, the Jewish people really should know the Bible better than anyone. It was given to them. It was, as we saw in our first lesson, one of the reasons why they were chosen was to give us the very Word of God. Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 13 says, "Therefore, my people go into exile for their lack of knowledge, and their honorable men are famished, and their multitude is parched with thirst." So they go into exile because of their lack of knowledge. And then listen to what Amos says in Amos chapter 8 and verse 11. "Behold, days are coming, declares the Lord God, when I will send a famine on the land, not a famine for bread or a thirst for water, but rather for hearing the words of the Lord." And boy, does that seem to be the case today. Not only among the Jewish people, but unfortunately, even within the church, there's such a lack of the pure, solid teaching of the Word of God. So as a Gentile person, should you be afraid of witnessing to your Jewish acquaintances because you think they know the Bible so well? No, I wouldn't worry about that. I would just go ahead and try to speak to your Jewish friends in love and try to help them understand that God sent the Messiah for them as well. You know what it says in the Word of God, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." And when it says that God so loved the world and he gave his Son, of course, that would include the Jewish people as well. Well, what have we seen so far today? Well, we've answered the question, how do Jewish people believe you get to heaven? And we saw that from their perspective, you get to heaven by doing what they call mitzvahs. And we showed that there's no one that could be good enough. And the reason why is because of our sin. We've all gone astray. God looked down from heaven and he looked upon the human race and he saw that there is no one who does good, not even one. Even the best that we offer to God, he says, is not acceptable to him. And then we answered the question, should I, as a Gentile believer, be afraid to witness to my Jewish friends? I hope you won't be. Maybe you could think of somebody right now. Maybe there's a neighbor that you have who's from a Jewish background. Maybe your doctor is Jewish. Maybe somebody that you purchase things at a department store that you frequent on a regular basis is from a Jewish background. I would encourage you to begin praying for them. Would you do that? And then I would ask you to write us and request a copy of our evangelistic magazine. This is a very helpful tool. It's less than a book, but it's more than a tract. It's sometimes if you give a Jewish person a complete whole book to read, they're going to say, well, you know, that's too much. I can't take the time to read an entire book. But this is a magazine, and in this magazine, there are several testimonies from Jewish people, five to be exact, and they come from different Jewish backgrounds. Some of the Jewish people that are giving their testimonies in our magazine comes from a very, very Orthodox Jewish background. Some, like myself, come from a very Reformed Jewish background. And then we have some in between coming from the conservative background. And the reason why this magazine is so effective is because these people are just sharing in their own words, their own testimonies about the struggles that they faced when somebody was trying to share with them their need for the Messiah, Jesus. You know, one of the problems that Jewish people have is they think that if they were to become a follower of the Messiah, Jesus, they would no longer be Jewish. As soon as they open up this magazine, that's the very, very first thing that is dealt with. Because most Jewish people have been told, you can't believe in Jesus and be Jewish at the same time. So right from the very beginning, we deal with that. Not only does the magazine have several testimonies from Jewish people from different backgrounds, but it also has some very, very key articles. We have an article in here about Isaiah chapter 53. And we ask the questions after those verses are stated, well, who is this referring to? And of course, the common Jewish answer is, well, Isaiah 53 is talking about the nation of Israel. Well, we show that that's impossible. Based upon the pronouns and other reasons that are stated right there in the text, it could be referring to none other than the suffering Savior, the Messiah who came at his first coming. And of course, we believe is going to be coming again as well. And then there's another article on the great message of the Passover. You know, every year we do a Passover Seder here at the center. It's just a wonderful, wonderful opportunity to clearly present the gospel. So in our magazine, there's an article about the Passover and how the Messiah Jesus is the fulfillment of that wonderful, wonderful event that God did when he miraculously delivered the Jewish people from their Egyptian bondage. And then we have an article called Back to the Future, and this deals with messianic prophecy. And I would hope that you utilize messianic prophecy in your witnessing, not only with Jewish people, but witnessing to your Gentile friends. This is very, very effective because it ties the Old Testament with the New Testament. Only God can predict something with so much clarity that when it's fulfilled, we know specifically without any shadow of a doubt that this was a prophecy that sometimes was given up to 1,000 years before, and yet it comes to pass with such clarity. And then there's an article in here dealing with biblical answers to Jewish questions. And in this article, I pose four questions that Jewish people have. One of the ones are the ones that we went over today. Can't I get to heaven by doing mitzvahs and by being a good person? Another question that I pose is, if Jesus is the Messiah, why isn't there peace? This is a big one, and there's others as well. So write us today, if you would, for a copy of our evangelistic magazine. You could log on to our website at MidwestMessianicCenter.org and get the information, or you could write MMC, Post Office Box 6611, Chesterfield, Missouri, and the zip code is 63006. Again, that's MMC, Post Office Box 6611, Chesterfield, Missouri, 63006, or log on to our website at MidwestMessianicCenter.org. And until next time, may God richly bless you.
The Messianic Voice with Marty Zide is the radio ministry of Midwest Messianic Center in St. Louis. Our goal is to proclaim Jesus as Messiah and Savior to everyone, but with special emphasis on God's chosen people. If you'd like to know how to effectively witness to your Jewish friends and neighbors, or understand better what God's Word says about Israel and the Jewish people, check out the resources we've made available at our website. Simply log on at MidwestMessianicCenter.org. You'll find books, videos, and audio material designed to assist in your evangelism efforts and your personal spiritual growth. Inquire about our evangelistic magazine featuring testimonies of Jewish believers. We offer home Bible studies, Jewish evangelism seminars, and free tracts that you may pass along to your Jewish friends. Again, you can visit us online at MidwestMessianicCenter.org or write to us at MMC, P.O. Box 6611, Chesterfield, Missouri, 63006. And be sure to request a copy of Evangelistic Magazine. Once again, our mailing address, MMC, P.O. Box 6611, Chesterfield, Missouri, 63006. You may also contact us by email through our website at MidwestMessianicCenter.org. We appreciate you spending this time with us today and invite you to join us again next time as we proclaim Jesus as Messiah on The Messianic Voice.